So after months of talking about the Gulf oil leak as one of the worst environmental disasters in history, the federal government issued this report yesterday, perhaps you caught it, suggesting that most of the oil has just vanished, evaporated, or dissolved in the water and may not be much of a problem. Well, Chris Haney wasn't buying this federal never mind. He's the chief scientist for the group Defenders of Wildlife.
It's a bizarre report. I've spoken with people inside NOAA. And they're completely perplexed as to where this came from.
NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, issued the report. And in scientific discussions later, and there's still a debate about what this means, the question is, even if 75% of the oil vanished, that would still constitute 10 Exxon Valdez's there in the Gulf. What do people down in the Gulf actually believe about both this scientific estimate and where the oil might be now? Campbell Robertson joins us, New York Times reporter based in New Orleans this morning. Good morning, Campbell.
Good morning.
What is the reaction to this idea that maybe Mother Nature or some other processes have taken care of much of the oil and that it's not going to be that much of a problem going forward?
Well, the reports started surfacing last week in the media and in sort of some scientific, some scientists were saying this before NOAA came out with this report. And people were pretty, there was a pretty good deal of pushback. It was kind of, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes kind of response, because people are still seeing oil. There's still oil that shows up in the marshes. I mean, much less than it did a few weeks ago. But, you know, and there's a broadly held belief here that it's all just sitting on the Gulf floor, and as soon as the shrimper goes through and starts trawling, they're going to find it.
And, you know, scientifically and commercially speaking, we really aren't going to know the impact for maybe a full year of either the tourist season or the fishing season or the getting a sense of what the fish larvae look like, the breeding that goes on in the Gulf. All of this are really important indicators of the long-term impact of this. What are people saying about that?
Well, that's the big worry, because, you know, if the static kill ends up completely working and this thing starts getting cleaned up, and it may be a generation or two of crab that we find out that there's been a significant biological change in the crab population, or there's a drop-off, and it may be future fishing seasons when this really comes to play. And so that's what people are really worried about.
Or genetic changes,
right,
in the long run.
Well,
exactly.
And
nobody knows at this point.
There's already a dead zone in the Gulf that's a seasonal factor, and some people were saying yesterday that the bacteria that eat oil use a lot of oxygen. So are Gulf residents worried that dead zone may increase for one reason or another?
Well, I've heard that. I mean, the fact is, the dead zone is as big as the state of Massachusetts this year. I mean, it's a seasonal thing. And they don't think that has much to do with the oil. And they've studied areas where oxygen is very low in the areas where they use dispersant oil, and it hasn't come close to reaching these sort of hypoxic levels. So it sounds like, for now, those are two separate problems.
So in the short term, fish populations are the real indicator. In the long term, as Lynn suggests, genetic changes. We're going to be looking at this for many, many years, right, Campbell?
I'm afraid so.
Campbell Robertson, New York Times reporter in New Orleans, taking a look at the skepticism on the part of Gulf residents of this federal report yesterday that much of the oil in the Gulf may have just vanished, evaporated, or dissolved, and may not be a problem going forward. They're not buying it down there.